Hello and welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast.
Welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast with your host, Amrit Sander. So the topic of conversation this week is authentic leadership. And to help me explore this topic further, I have a fantastic guest in David Hynam. David is the CEO for Bupa Global and UK. He's also the chairman for HomeServe UK, and he's served in some prestigious roles with Barclays and AXA. And I came across David in our dealings and we were asked to come in and support for some employee engagement work. And one thing that struck me was the level of authentic leadership David demonstrated all the way through my dealings with him. And so I thought, who better than to bring David in to talk about authentic leadership? So David, welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. I want to just dive into knowing more about you and who you are. So, you know, before we get into a discussion on all the things about authentic leadership, I would love to know more about you first, your background, your experiences.
Morning, Amrit. Look, this is great opportunity. Thank you very much for inviting me. A little bit about me. So I'm the CEO of Bupa Global and UK. I look after about 25,000 people across our businesses. We've got people all over the world. We've got people, a lot of people in the UK, a lot of people in the US, Ireland, Denmark, Dubai, Egypt, Hong Kong. It's well spread across the globe. And I look after some insurance businesses. So we have an international private medical insurance business and a domestic insurance business. That's the business people think of often when they think of Bupa. So created back in April 1947, so it's 73 years old. That's the sort of traditional domestic insurance business. And then I've got a series of provision businesses where we look after patients, customers and residents in care homes, our dental practices, health clinics, the Cromwell Hospital. So, yeah, pretty a pretty widespread brief. Yeah. That would be me. And I also chair a company called HomeServe UK, which is a home assistance provider. So I get to be a non-executive for a couple of days a month.
Perfect. That tiny company, HomeServe, that nobody might have heard of. fantastic.
It's the FTSE 100 last week, which is fantastic news.
Well, that's great news. And HomeServe has been famous. I mean, certainly in my experience of engagement, it's fairly famous for driving good, great engagement. I've came across some of the things that HomeServe do. It's fantastic. So. David, your background, I was reading your background. You've got an amazing CV. I know you're a humble guy and you probably don't like to shout about it, but would you just share some of your background in terms of how you a little bit of your career, how you came across to be here?
I mean, it's hard to believe now, but I was actually young once. And so there was a time when my hair wasn't quite so grey. And post-university, I worked in financial services for a long time. So I worked at Barclays and then at AXA, which we sold at the life business across to Friends Life, and I went with it. So I haven't changed companies very much. I'm not a big risk taker in terms of businesses and where I work. I had a very operational career, so I've always had big people leadership jobs pretty much from day one, so probably from about the age of 25 anyway, where I used to be an area manager and then went on to do some other things. And I guess my roles have always been big people leadership roles, some of which I've probably been better at than others over the years, I guess. But I think the thing about a career over many years is you do start to find traits in yourself that you see and recognize and learn from, hopefully, and hopefully make you a bit of a better leader over time, even if you still make mistakes.
And you know, you have had some big, these are big roles you've had. You were Chief Operating Officer at Barclays?
Yes, I had a COO role in the wealth business at Barclays. Then I was COO at AXA, and then again, initially at Friends Life, and then I was UK CEO when I left Friends to come to Bupa. I was one of those people who transitioned from having very much a operational role into a P&L role relatively early, I suppose, in my career. And then when I came to Bupa, I mean, I've got a wonderful, wonderful role in as much as I had, before I did this role, I'd run a number of the businesses that I now look after. So you kind of know the ways in which the businesses work and how they operate, which is a real luxury. And you don't often get that. You don't often get the luxury of knowing the way in which businesses all piece together. So that's been enormously helpful to me.
And, you know, we met probably 2-3 years ago, I think, when we came in and did some work with you. And one of the things that struck me, you know, my job is to come into boardrooms and present data and share back of you know, what people are experiencing across the organization. And one of the things that struck me was your compassion and your care towards how do we help improve the experiences of employees. And that in itself was, often you come into boardrooms and people want to tick boxes and they want a quick fix. And one of the things there was just real compassion of how are we collectively going to do something different. And I love that. And I walked away, that just was seared in my memory. But the other thing was, and we mentioned this pre this podcast, was when I was walking down Oxford Street, my head in the clouds because I'd been to a meeting, distracted somewhere. And we walked past each other, but it didn't click. I knew you, but it just didn't click where. And we did the polite smile, we walked past each other. And it must have been about 100 yards later, you called out my name. And we turned around and we met up again and we shook hands. And again, that struck me that this was, there was something about this, your role as a leader and how it can, how roles can impact on people, but yet this groundedness of this authenticity. And again, that really struck me that when you did that, and I tell people stories about that. It sounds insignificant.
I distinctly remember you being dressed much more smartly than me. So I was obviously doing a casual dress day, which is most days, I should say, I think there's something in how we come across as leaders that makes a real difference, both for the people who we look after, but also for ourselves. So for me, I think we can have all the brilliant processes in the world. We can have all the great governance in the world, and they're really important. And we can have the right standards and frameworks and all the good stuff that go in corporate life. The reality of what we do is that we will only ever show up as well as the people who we lead. And our job is to create an environment where people can thrive, bring the best of themselves to work, enjoy hopefully what they do, work within the parameters that sometimes we have to set, and all those good things. But if we don't show up as authentic, then I don't think we can really expect our people to show up as authentic. And when I read some of the feedback or I hear feedback directly from customers or residents or patients, usually the experience they've had, especially when it's been a really positive one, is something that one of our people has done. And that will be the legacy that leaders leave behind in an organization. Did you leave an organization, or did you create an organization where people felt they could bring their very best self to work? Because that's what we want people to do every day. And frankly, you know, all the other stuff, some of that is noise. Bringing people turning up and doing the very best they can do will make the biggest difference for any organization. I passionately believe that. And that means that for people like me who have the privilege of having a chair, which means you get to ask some other people to do things for you, how you do that is much more important than people sometimes think, much more important. And for me, that's what makes my job great. That's what makes me want to turn up for work. That's what makes me keep doing what I'm doing. It's not for all the other stuff. It's because we create an environment for other people to work within. And that's crucially important.
And how do you, one of the things that everybody I speak to and have spoken to about you have the same experience that I have, and everybody says, oh, he's just fantastic to work with. How do you maintain that? Because if your title, it's a grand title. I mean, remind me, what's your title again?
Well, in theory, I'm called Chief Executive Officer of Bupa Global in UK, but I wouldn't dwell on titles. I think, you know, labels are just labels, aren't they? And I think there's only one really relevant point, I think, to titles, which is I think it creates expectations for people. And so, and it doesn't really matter whether you're called CEO, boss, leader, that doesn't matter. There's something in a label which means people expect you to turn up in a certain way or rock up with a certain perspective or be, you know, some kind of a style or approach. And the reality is everyone is very different. And I think for me, the biggest issue in how that translates for expectations or for me is that I have to turn up being me, and I want all our people to turn up being them. I have very little time for this preconceived idea that, you know, you should do something in a certain way or create language in a certain way. I think that is when we start to become something other than ourselves. And so the most important thing for me is that I can turn up as myself and others can turn up as their selves. And that will mean we bring the best of ourselves to what we're doing. Authentic leadership is about bringing your whole self to the job. And that means sometimes people like some bits of it and sometimes people don't like some bits of it. And, you know, I'm not pretending that there aren't some protocols that we all have to work within, but we have to be true to ourselves at the end of the day.
And I think that, you know, if you think about the concept of mirror neurons, it's almost that when you're comfortable in your own skin, you're comfortable and true to who you are, you can create that environment where people are. But, you know, one of the challenges, I guess, must be, and I'm totally with you on the point of titles, right? But it's another job, albeit you have the ability to influence the culture and how you can set the tone. But it must be hard when you have these grand titles, as people work through their careers, accumulating these titles and the impact and influence on other people. It must be hard to still maintain who you are, the essence of who you are, the person who started off with the ambition, the career, wanted to change the world and for the good. How do you avoid the hubris and the power and the influence that can come sometimes in some of these senior leadership roles? How do you maintain that or retain who you are and avoid just maintain who you are, your essence?
I think you have to have a few principles that you work to, and they're not particularly overt, and you don't put them on posters and you don't put them on little signs on your desk. But I think some things I would always want to try and remember. So leaders influence decisions that can affect lots and lots of people. And one of the things that I always come back to when you're making some of those decisions or helping others to shape those decisions is thinking about how it will feel for that person who's going to receive the impact of that, and how would it be if it was you. And that sounds really trite, and I know it does, but the reality is that it's very easily forgotten, and that is what will make a big difference in terms of the legacy that you leave behind in an organization. So there's something about treating people in the way that you would want to be treated, even if sometimes it's not necessarily something they would choose. I think we have to recognize that there are always business and personal consequences for things we do. Sometimes we have this really hard divide in our heads where we talk about that's something in your home life or something in your business life. It's not really like that. I mean, we all of us do our emails an evening and early in the morning, and our day doesn't stop and start at fixed points in time. It isn't really like that. And in this current virtual world that we're all in, it's certainly not like that. And so I don't think you can ever be quite as definitive about where the stop and the start are in things. And so taking a well-rounded view is really important. And I think it's important as a leader to have some things that you take a bit of a stand on. And for me, you know, I've over the years made stands on all sorts of things, and I'm probably some of them people thought, oh, what's he doing there? Or, you know, yes, I really want to do that. But I think we're not being paid to be mute, right? We know we're here to lead an organization and to bring with that some decision making, some guidance, some steering. And for me, taking a stand on a couple of areas has been really important, and I'm happy to explore those with you if you want to. They're a bit of a hobby horse for me, probably.
I would love to, because I know you've been a real advocate for women's equality, LGBT rights. And it's interesting that as a leader, you have the ability to influence so many. And sometimes, I mean, even if you take the climate agenda and sustainable leadership, you know, there's so much that leaders could influence, but they might be fearful of taking a stand because it might influence or impact, or what in you decided, actually, I am going to take a stand in these areas because they matter to you.
I mean, I think you touch exactly on the point. It's because they matter to me. And I think that's one of the things which we always need to remember. Our job is not just to administrate an organization. Our job is to provide leadership. And part of that is what matters to us and sharing those things. So I would love our people to think that they knew enough about me that they wanted to hear some of the things I had to say. Now, not everyone will. I'm not naive enough to think that. But for me, one of the things that is most important is creating an environment where there is really zero tolerance for discrimination in the organization. I want to have the best people we can possibly have working in our business. I want to have a diverse organization representative of the communities that we serve. I want to get the benefits, and this sounds really commercial, and perhaps it is. I want to get the benefits of that in terms of wider thinking, different perspectives, greater contribution, people bringing as much of themselves to work as they can. But much more importantly than that, It is fundamentally the right thing to do. And I am absolutely convinced of that. It's very easy to say, and you have to actually do some things to make that clear to people. So one example of that, I did tell you this was a hobby horse. One example of that is a pledge which we made called Be You at Bupa, which is about people feeling they can bring their whole selves to work, that they can be as open or as not, if they wish, about all the parts of their life, and to be the real them, to be authentic, to be true to themselves, to bring the best they can to the role that they take. And that encourages diversity. I have a very strong view that it's bigger than just diversity, it's diversity and inclusion, and the two go hand in hand. And I think that's absolutely the right thing to do. Now, I'm sure there are some people who thought I was, you know, doing something a bit odd by coming up with BU at Bupa, and I probably didn't syndicate it very well, in truth. But actually, it really mattered to me and still matters to me. And it's very much a message that I would want our people to hear. And I think it's landed pretty well. And that is important, but it's really important as well that I do things in my role that that allow me to bring myself to work. And part of that is encouraging Be You at Bupa.
I love that, David. And, you know, one of the we talk about authentic leadership as though it's a, you know, it's a personal journey. And, you know, if you go back to the Greek phrase of know thyself in order to know what you stand for. And but if you the point you made, you've got to actually do something.
I think that's the key. That's the key point, right? So we can all of us. I've got a fantastic brand team, a fantastic corporate affairs team. I'm sure they could write a slogan that would sound much better than Be You at Bupa. That isn't really the point. The things you have to do things about it. So I'm quite an active sponsor of diversity in the organisation. I take part in a number of the activities that we do. Hopefully, I am very open to hearing directly from people and taking on board the feedback that people have got. And I think you do have to be active. And I think one of the elements of that is it is important to seek inputs and counsel and guidance from colleagues. It's really important to do that. But ultimately, part of a CEO's role is to create an environment for decision making. And that means having some areas where you go, you know what, that's just not okay. We won't tolerate that. This is something we are going to do, and it's going to be positive, and we're going to encourage it. And they are, whilst they're written in and said in quite soft language, they are actually quite important decision points. And I think that's how we show up as leaders, is being really clear that there are some things where that is the way we're going to do things, and that does matter to the organisation, and it matters to me. And that for me is where authenticity comes from. It has to matter to you.
Yeah, I can relate to that. When I was, after I qualified as a pharmacist, I went and did a year with the police. So I felt this, I was compelled to join the police. And at the time I thought, you know, when you're young, you think, oh, it just sounds like a good idea. It's only when I look back and join the dots, you think, actually, injustice is a really important thing for me. I don't like injustice. I don't like intolerance. And it's not just that I don't like it. I ended up doing something about it. But at the time, I probably wasn't cognizant. But it was something I had to do. And so these things that are really personal to us, and sometimes you can, and even on LinkedIn, if you think, you know, I know, David, when sometimes I've spoken to friends and colleagues who are hesitant about posting something on LinkedIn that they're important, that's important to them, because they're worried about how it might look on their brand, or, but it's something they really, really feel passionate about. So yeah, it's an interesting point.
I think to go back to a point I was making earlier, I think it's really important to have those few areas where you really make a stand or you have an opinion. And for me, that's it's a very positive bit about the work that we do, that you can do that. And hopefully people will want to listen to it. They don't always, I'm sure, but hopefully people want to listen to it. I mean, you touch on something else, which I just wouldn't mind just going back to you for a second, which is, I think sometimes early experiences in our career can leave thoughts with us as well. And so one of the thoughts I was having as you were going back to your early career, I'd completely forgotten you used to be a pharmacist, but you probably are still a pharmacist. I completely forgotten that. Is very early in my career, when I was still sort of working at university, I had a job selling stuff door to door, which was a fairly miserable task, actually. I wasn't a very good salesman, which is probably why I never went into sales. But every little job I had, however, you know, whatever it was, part-time role, filling time or whatever, earning a bit of extra money, I think I took some learning from all of those things. And even that job, the learning I took from it was, you know what? It's really hard to sell. And that sounds really simple to say, but it left a little bit of a memory with me, which is whenever I talk to our sales guys who, you know, they have a hard job. Sometimes it's very easy to kind of dismiss, you know, sales as being target driven and all those things. It's really not that easy. It's a really hard slog. And so one of the things I think it is important as leaders to do is not to forget some of the experiences you've had yourself where you know, and they may be very single data points, I get that, but it does make you look at things through different perspectives, and that is important. I think our teams in sales and customer loyalty do a fantastic job, and they work incredibly hard. And sometimes it's easy to overlook those sorts of things. And if I hadn't had personal experience of it, perhaps I would. So I think it's important not to lose sight of those learnings you get, whether they're business learnings or personal learnings, right the way through your career.
One of the things on just on the learnings is, you know, often when I go into boardrooms, I usually have the gatekeepers who will say to me, oh, just can you not say that? And can you not mention that to the CEO? Because, you know, it's bad news. And my often I'll sort of nod and then go in and tell the truth. Because I think how can anybody do anything different if they don't know and we don't take the learnings from that?
Having heard you feedback to my own boardroom once upon a time, I can confirm for the podcast that you are very good at telling that true story and not holding anything back. So yes, I give a big tick to that one.
Thank you. And hopefully in the politest way possible.
Absolutely. Always charming, but tell the truth.
Thank you. And how do you help remove some of that fear of, because in order to learn, we've got to be able to know the truth and know the reality. But often, you know, you don't want to tell the CEO bad news. How do you remove the fear from, because there's a risk that people will protect you from bad news.
Oh, that I've no doubt that happens from time to time. I'm actually much more fearful about not hearing the real news than hearing the real news. I think you are exposed as a leader when you don't know what's going on, or when someone wants to let you have a perspective that suits for them and not for the wider community. And it's a very risky place to go. So my fear actually goes the other way. I'm a very risk averse person, and I would much rather know the reality of a situation. I think you're right. There's always going to be a situation where someone has to relay something that might not land terribly well. I do it myself, you know, like everyone. I have a boss, and I, you know, I think consciously how I relay messages sometimes, because that's the right thing to do, but I would still relay them. And probably one of the things that I've always said to my team is there is no such thing as good news and bad news. And sometimes we dress things up as good news and bad news. There is just news, because what is one person's good news is quite often somebody else's bad news, and the other way around. So don't try and filter things on whether you think it's good, bad, happy or sad. Concentrate on sharing things that need to be shared, talking about things that need to be talked about, discussing things that need to be discussed. I can work out for myself whether I think it's going to be good or bad. I would just much rather people were direct and honest.
David, you know, one of the, we're talking about authentic leadership. One of the things that often comes up, and I experienced this personally as myself, what you see now isn't what was the state of me growing up. I was very vulnerable, insecure. I grew up in a very household full of high expectations, you know, the only son and what have you. And so I grew up with a fair degree of insecurity of, am I good enough and what have you. And I've developed as I've gone along. But there'll be leaders out there who are in roles, who are very influential on people, who still have that voice in their head to say, am I good enough? Are there any tips or anything you might be able to advise to say, how did you overcome that voice in the head about whether you are?
Oh, I think we all have that voice, or many of us have that voice, perhaps not everyone. I don't think it ever goes away completely. I mean, it's certainly still there in the back of my head. There's the sort of imposter syndrome voice, which goes, are you really up to doing this? And that's okay, because as long as you keep moving forward, I think that's perhaps inevitability for many people. You can only really be judged on what you do. And so ultimately, you should focus your efforts, I think, on doing the right things, behaving in the right way, showing up how you want to show up, and making sure your people know the real you. So if people are going to judge you on anything, at least they judge you on the real you. And, you know, when our time comes to move out of roles or to leave chairs or whatever it might be, you can't really ask for much more than to be judged on that basis. And I think that's important to me personally. I can certainly say to me personally it is, but also to a lot of people, that we want to be viewed fairly. We want to be viewed as the real us. And I do think things have changed a bit. I think there was a time, even I think back to my early career, which was a very long time ago, people's expectations of what a CEO did, looked like, turned up as, said, language, all those things were really quite different to what they are today. It was much more formal, incredibly formal. Imagine coming out of a banking role in central London. It was a very formal environment, and now it's very different. And I think our challenge is to adjust and adapt and move with it and not become the laggard of, you know, years gone by, which would be really easy to do, actually, if you didn't morph a little over time. So I don't think those insecurities completely go away, but I do think it's important to show up as the real you, and then at least you know you did the right thing.
And finally, David, you know, we're going through this environment now where we are, many of us are working from home, and it's going to carry on in this way for a while to come. We know from all the data out there that leadership is one of the highest correlating factors to employee engagement and visible leadership. Now, you can't be out there to the sites and engaging with people, and you are genuinely one of the most engaging leaders I've come across, who lives and breathes what he says. So some of the things you've mentioned, you know, you refer to, as it might sound trite, you genuinely live and breathe this stuff, and I've seen it. How do leaders now be visible in an environment where everybody's now locked down and working from home, and we're not even seeing our teams as much? How can you still maintain that level of visibility so people can still relate to you?
It's an incredibly important point, incredibly important. I actually quite like the discipline that working virtually has given me, because I didn't think I was going to, because I'm a very human-to-human person. So this is all very new to me. And like everyone, I probably struggled with it for the first few weeks. But you have to sort of embrace the things that are positives in it. And the discipline of having everyone on screen in sort of joint meetings, being able to encourage people to contribute in a slightly more manageable way, I think there are some pluses in there. And we have to harness those. And actually, they can enhance the way in which we interact as leaders with each other. A couple of thoughts I have. This will sound really silly, I'm sure, but put the camera on. So when you're on Teams or Google Meets or whatever it might be, actually, if you were in a meeting room with somebody, you wouldn't go and sit in the cupboard. You'd probably sit in the room with everybody else. So, you know, put the camera on, engage. I think there's a real dynamic shift which can happen, because everyone then is present. Get this, reasons why you might not be able to always do it. But there's something about the presence that you bring, even if it's virtual. I think the pace and agility that we've had to show over the last 3 or 4 months has been a positive in many ways, in as much as we've learned some new ways of working, we found ways to go quicker, we found ways to be decisive. And that is a little bit of a shift in leadership, and I think we will want to harness some of that. And probably the last point I'd say is, I think it's important not to over-reflect on some of the learnings we've had. We've made some learnings. We've found some new ways of doing things. Let's not land in a puddle of introspection. Let's take the things we can from that and find really positive ways to move forward.
Thank you. That's a great point to end on. And David, you know, you must be incredibly proud of the people who, you know, are working across the organization, the work you do. You know, I got to see firsthand the care home work. And the employees, the colleagues there working so hard. So you must be incredibly proud of what you and the team have done in terms of helping create an environment that people can thrive in those areas and do such an amazing job in the current climate.
My job is just to dance across the top of things that brilliant people do. I don't assume any credit for any of that. I was out last week. I went to visit 4 of our care homes from a safe distance outside, socially distancing, with my mask on, took my dog, and just to show up. And you know what? It's amazing. Our people are doing a fantastic, fantastic job. I was just wowed by some of the things I seen through the window, people coming to say hello. I had a whole care home just coming to the window and waving. It was just wonderful. They're doing a brilliant job.
It is. It's humbling when you see people working with such commitment and dedication for the things that really matter. David, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I could talk to you all day. I genuinely could. And hopefully maybe we'll get you back on again and talk some more about leadership and everything else in between. So what I would like to just very quickly end on is, if there was one learning that you think you could take as a leader throughout your career, what one thing would you say that you've taken away?
Learn from other people. I am very clear that I have worked for some amazing leaders over time. I've worked alongside some amazing leaders, and I've worked with some brilliant colleagues. And I reckon if I was asked to, I could find a learning in every one of those. And so learn from others. You don't have all the answers.
That's perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much, David. Thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate your time and your input and your insights. Carry on with the fight. I love seeing the focus on equality and the rights and everything you're doing. I think it's just fantastic. Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, David. Thank you. Thanks once again to David Heinem. That's our podcast for this week, Authentic Leadership. Join us again soon. Every week we'll have new podcasts with new guests. Thanks very much for listening, and we will see you soon. Take care.
The Engagement Coach Podcast.